T. Hayward, and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Richard Cantu. Accused insurrectionists are appealing to the Supreme Court, trying to stop the felony obstruction statute from being used in their prosecutions. It could impact around 300 of those charged.
Hundreds of January 6th defendants and Donald Trump himself have been charged under a federal law that makes it a crime to obstruct an official proceeding. But the Supreme Court agreed to hear an appeal from one January 6th defendant who argues that that law, which was passed by Congress to deal with witness tampering in corporate criminal cases, cannot be applied to the attack on the Capitol.
ABC's Terry Moran. The House Republican majority was unanimous in voting to formalize the ongoing impeachment inquiry against President Biden. For a third meeting in a row, the Federal Reserve, nation's central bank, held its benchmark interest rate in place. The governors also signaled that 2024 could see three interest rate cuts. This is ABC News. President Biden met with the families of some of the U.S. citizens still being held captive in Gaza.
Jonathan Dekelhen, whose son Sagi was kidnapped during the October 7th terror attacks by Hamas, called the family's meeting with President Biden terrific.
We felt before and we were only reinforced in seeing and believing that we could have no better friend in Washington or in the White House than President Biden himself and his administration.
None of the families who spoke to reporters would say if the president or anyone on his team could give an update on the conditions of their loved ones. Dekelhen said they plan to keep the contents of their conversation with the president private. Karen Travers, ABC News, the White House.
After nearly 200 years in a private collection, a pair of small portraits by Dutch master Rembrandt went on display at the Netherlands National Art and History Museum on a long-term loan. The paintings are believed to be the last known pair of privately held Rembrandt portraits sold at auction this year. I'm Richard Cantu, ABC News.
Radio keeps your community informed, entertained, and connected. It's what we're all about at the Civic Media Network of local radio stations.
We're having fun and moving fast to preserve hometown radio across Wisconsin.
This includes a commitment to news.
Now we want to invite you to join Civic Media's exclusive Facebook group, Wisconsin Breaking News. It's a place to share your community's news and chat with others from across the state about it.
Join the Facebook group, Wisconsin Breaking News, today. It's the perfect companion to your local Civic Media radio station, The Todd Allbush Show.
Even Republican women, when they walk into that booth, that reversal of RVW is going to walk in with them, because that cuts to the very essence of what a woman is and what she can be and what she can decide. To speak in Wisconsin terminology, the reverse of Roe v. Wade is the right bower for Democrats. That's a Euchre reference.
That is spot on. You nailed it, John Roach, once again.
The Todd Allbush Show, weekdays noon till 2 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
For Civic Media News, I'm Nate Wiggehout. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. The Universities of Wisconsin Board of Regents is reversing course and accepting a deal to trade scaled-back diversity efforts for employee pay raises. Even some regents who opposed the deal voted for it to get workers their raises. Regent Kyle Weatherly voted for the measure, even though he says he opposes it.
This deal, distasteful though it is, in my judgment, and on balance, gives us a better ability to serve not only those students, but all students.
The measure passed on an 11-6 vote. Wisconsin voters may someday choose their candidates for Congress in a very different way. A bipartisan ranked choice voting bill got its first hearing before a state Senate committee on Tuesday. Under ranked choice voting, all candidates for U.S. House and Senate would appear on a primary ballot regardless of their party. The top five candidates would advance to the general election. I'm Nate Wiggehout, Civic Media News.
The Bucks roll over the Pacers. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. The Milwaukee Bucks had no trouble with Indiana, beating them 140-126 in five-serve form. But Giannis Antetokounmpo with 64 points, a new franchise record, 14 rebounds, 3 assists, and then got into a shouting match with some of the Pacers for several minutes in the tunnel after the game, live on Bally Sports Wisconsin.
This is not how we thought this night was going to end.
Well, here, the security guard Danny, the coaching staff need to be out here and get Giannis off the floor. floor.
Bucks head coach Adrian Griffin.
I was not out there. I was not aware. You know, I heard some grumblings, but, you know, at this time, I obviously will sit down and John and I and we'll talk about what happened. But I wasn't there. I wasn't even aware that, you know, it happened.
Elsewhere, the NBA has suspended Draymond Green indefinitely after he violently struck the Suns' Yusuf Nurkic in the face Tuesday night. The 33-year-old Green has been with the Golden State Warriors since he was drafted in 2012. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
Lows level off around 18 overnight under mainly clear skies. Winds out of the southwest, 8 to 15 miles per hour. Mainly sunny skies again tomorrow. High temperatures reach up to 44. A dusting of snow Saturday. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Paul Trombley. Right now, it's 23 degrees.
Did you know this local radio station is part of Civic Media? Learn more about the entire network at civicmedia.us. Sawyer County's choice for news, talk, and sports. The Buzz of the North, 910 AM WBZH.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
Live from the Civic Media World Headquarters in Madison, Wisconsin, it's the Todd Albaugh Show. And now, pursuing truth wherever it may lead, here's your host, Todd Albaugh.
Across Wisconsin on the Civic Media Radio Network and streaming worldwide on the Civic Media app. Good afternoon, everybody. I'm Todd Albaugh, along with our producer and engineer, the fantastic Mr. Aaron Zommers over on the board. It is Wednesday, December 13th, 2023, 6 minutes now past the hour of 12 noon. Welcome in on what, Mr. Zommers?
Pump day!
Fantastic. Even in pre-recording, we're still getting it done. For those joining us today, we appreciate you being here. We are doing this show, well, we did it yesterday on Tuesday, because Mr. Zommers and I, as you are listening to the show, we are in a little staff-mandated meeting, Mr. Zommers, so I hope we're learning something.
I sure hope so.
Yes, we both do. But still, this is the kind of dedication that our friend Trigvi Olsen has to this show, and we appreciate it so much. Like myself, a former Republican, has worked for big names like John McCain and Mitch McConnell and others, and more importantly, I would say, has done great work across the globe on democracy around the world, particularly in Eastern Europe. He is a senior advisor to the Lincoln Project and joins us each and every Wednesday. Trigvi, thanks for making time for us today and being here, even though we're pre-recorded.
Well, you know what, Todd? It isn't often that I get to live in the future.
Right? And you, yep. By the way, Trigvi got a new microphone and you sound spectacular this week. Right.
Thank you.
Yeah,
I know.
And he's fresh off a plane, but still here you are.
I'm doing so much radio. Yeah. Packer really? Game, last Packer game on Monday night. Didn't turn out so great, Tom.
Now, we talked about this yesterday with Luke Mathers.
Joe Barry is the Rothman of defensive coordinators.
Right? Packer, for those who don't know, Trigvi is a Packers owner, like so many are. And what do you make of this? Because I just thought the Packers played poorly all the way around, but this prevent defense at the end of the game, I'm with the group that says, go after him, blitz, try to sack the Italian stallion. And if he slips past you, you've still got 45 seconds to score.
You know, I'd say like 45, almost half of the fans in our section were Packer fans, probably in the stadium, Todd. Pretty much when they scored with the minute 30 left, everybody knew it was going to happen. I think everybody watching on TV knew it was going to happen. I said to the guy next to me, like, watch, he's going to play quarters defense and get lit up. That's exactly what they did.
Yeah.
Honest to God, the Giants only needed to make like 40 yards. And the Packers kind of lucked into getting ahead in the game anyway.
Right.
That Barkley fumble was weird. Anyway,
but good on
I don't
him.
Know. We'll
good
see what him. Happens in Tampa the next week. But Joe Barry, not very good at his job.
Did you see any of the here's the great story. I mean, not if you're a Packer fan, but I still love a good story. Jimmy DeVito, the guy who was the quarterback for Illinois last year when they beat the Badgers and cost Paul Chryst his job, now the quarterback with the East Rutherford Giants and gets it done again against another Wisconsin team. They showed his agent on TV last night, who looks like he's straight out of The Sopranos or The Godfather. I mean, to me, it's really entertaining. This kid still lives at home. His mom makes him chicken cutlets, and he's lighting up the NFL.
Yeah, they chant Tommy Cutlets, Tommy Cutlets, Tommy, yes. And clap. Yeah.
I
thought it was Danny DeVito playing quarterback for him at first, but I guess he showed us. He isn't much of a passer, but he can run.
Oh, he can. I think he's football smart too, a little bit. So
yeah, I don't.
Or the Packers just played like crap.
He might be kind of a one-hit wonder, but you know.
So
I don't think he's got Katy Perry's staying power.
No, I don't think so either. So you brought up, you raised the specter of UW Assistant President Jay Rothman, who, as we record this yesterday now on Tuesday, Jay Rothman just emerged from this private meeting, closed door meeting with the Board of Regents to talk about this deal that went south this past weekend between Robin Voss, Republican Speaker, and Jay Rothman. And Rothman, after he came out of this meeting yesterday on Tuesday, refused to answer reporters' questions of whether or not he's considering resigning. In your experience, Trigvi, all the political things and things, when someone doesn't answer a question or comment on whether or not you're considering stepping down, resigning, that's usually indication that you are, yes or no.
Well, I don't know, honestly, because he made the threat, right? So the fact that he made the threat and is now seems to, I would say it says he's hedging, right? Like
right.
He may have made, it also is pretty clear he was cutting deals with Robin Voss and writing checks that he didn't have he had insufficient funds to cash. Because truth of the matter is, like, he needed to make sure that his ultimate bosses on the Board of Regents were on board. And it's clear they weren't.
That's the thing I want to ask.
I don't understand. Like, I think this guy is learning that this is not running a major law firm. This is running a public institution, number one. And number two, I don't know. He might be slightly, and I mean slightly, better at his job than Joe Barry is, but not much.
Because there's been a lot of debate this week, and we went through it ad nauseum on Monday on this show, of the different positions, not so much positions, but the different takeaways from the failure of this deal over the past weekend. And really super quickly, I call it kind of the Tom Loftus regent position, which is we voted this down because the precedent is dangerous. And that if we support this, it basically says the whole budget process is moot, that doesn't mean anything anymore, and it weakens UW's system. That's one point of view. Then there's kind of the Dem, progressive, liberal point of view, which is we, quote unquote, and the regions won. We stood up to Voss and Republicans and hate and MAGA, and you can't roll over minorities anymore, and that we have Voss where we want him, and we brought him back to the negotiating table, and DEI is not going to be on the table. Then you've got the GOP and MAGA message, which is, look, Voss went from a position of cutting all diversity, equity, and inclusion jobs at UW down to a third, didn't fire anybody. The system basically gets all their money, their engineering building, reciprocity, the 5 and 10% guarantees for admission across the system. And look who's really the extreme people over here, the people who want 100% on nothing and who want indoctrination. Their words, not mine. And then I basically said, I just think it comes down to poor negotiating on Voss's part, or pardon me, on Rothman's part. And this is the question I want to ask you, Trigvi. You've been in the rooms with people like Mitch McConnell and John McCain, who really know what negotiating is. Rothman and his team just don't seem to have a clue of how you build deals and count votes.
I think it's the latter and not the former, Todd. I mean, the guy was head of one of the biggest law firms in the country, right? You got to figure that he understands negotiation. I mean, that's 3/4 of what lawyers do, at least at super lawyer level. Mm-hmm. But I think what he probably wasn't cognizant of is what his constituency. So he may have been able to do a good job of cutting a deal with Voss, and it may be that he I just think he didn't understand that ultimately he had to not – he was negotiating. He was the intermediary between the Board of Regents and Robin Voss, not
the negotiator. The Cap Times reporter last week on Friday when this deal was announced had a great question. She asked Rothman, were there any people of color at the table when you were negotiating this? And he took 30 seconds to say no. I mean, when the subject is diversity, equity, and inclusion – and you don't include anyone from a minority community, that to me seems tone deaf. I mean, you think about guys like Tommy Thompson when he reformed welfare to work in this state. Who did he have standing behind him? Black single moms saying, we've talked to folks like these and we are here to help them, and they've bought into this.
I think it's a classic case of maybe Rothman not understanding the board, right? Like you'd think that he would know that he's probably going to get the 7 Republican appointees, 15 members of the Regents, correct?
Right.
Yeah, 8 to 7. So you would think that he would want to have in his pocket 2, you know, of Evers appointees and probably like trying to get the governor's people and some others as he's negotiating with Voss, serving as the intermediary there. The problem is you got Rothman, who kind of was, you know, he was selected by when Republicans sort of more controlled the Board of Regents. He basically was negotiating with Voss, but he was negotiating towards a middle position, not understanding who the real other side that was negotiating with Voss is in this.
Yeah, it's
it doesn't help that he stepped in it, you know, last week too.
It just seems like, to me that it just seems to me that moving forward now, it seems like at least some of the regions aren't going to trust him. The many people in the faculty and staff and the system aren't going to trust him. Certainly, Robin Voss has the upper hand or the upper ground now in the legislature. They don't trust him, and I think even some Dems and progressives don't trust the guy. I don't know how you move forward to that position and be credible going forward.
Well, let's just look at it a slightly different way. If Tommy were still acting president, would that negotiations and what the board did have gone down differently?
I suspect
it would have.
Yeah, I suspect it would have too. Very differently.
I'm pretty sure if Tommy had cut a deal, it wasn't going to get upended at the Board of Regents level. Pretty sure.
You know it. I mean, you work for guys. I work for guys, leadership. And they say, look, have you got the blankety blank votes? Because if this doesn't go through, you're done. I mean, that's the kind of stuff that we face as staffers.
Yeah. I mean, I think the best analogy is, you know, Rothman was writing out checks to get buy-in that he didn't have the funds to back up.
Yeah. I think you're right on that. We're going to change gears here. We're going to come back in a moment here and discuss more with Trygve Olsen, if I can say his name right, senior advisor to the Lincoln Day Project. Lincoln Day? I'm a little tired, Mr.
Lincoln
Zomers.
Lincoln Day Dinner Project.
See, yeah, these are my years.
There's going to have to be a lot of conversation at Lincoln Day dinners this year.
Sure. And we'll come back. We'll talk about what some people may be talking about at Republican Lincoln Day dinners in the new year. Talk politics. It looks like Chris Sununu endorsed Nikki Haley last night in New Hampshire. Could she be the chosen one to unseat the orange one? We'll ask Trygve Olsen on the other side. Don't go anywhere. This is the Todd Allball Show on the Civic Media Radio Network.
The Buzz of the North, 910 AM WBZH. Up North News Radio with Pat Kreitlow.
Your soulmate is somebody who, when you get out of the McDonald's drive-thru, she'll do a picklectomy and take the pickles out of my cheeseburger and put extra pickles on hers.
I'm flummoxed, I'm flabbergasted, I'm quacking upset right now.
You're going to defend pickles?
Except for bread and butter pickles, those things are the devil.
Oh, see, now if I were going to try any of them, it would...
Pat!
Come on! Okay, and this is why Greg and I are not married.
Weekday morning, 6 till 8. On
your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. The Devil's Advocates Radio Show.
Dane County Executive Joe Parisi. Joe, let me ask you. You've made a little news. You have declared what in regard to the Twitter, now known as the X, and the Dane County municipal accounts. Joe, have you banned Twitter?
Well, we're no longer going to be using Twitter, I think is probably the...
Is that the same as banning Twitter, sir?
The Devil's Advocates Radio Show. Weekday afternoons from 4 till 6 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. This is the Buzz of the North, 910 AM WBZH.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
Truth, wherever it may lead, and having fun doing it. Welcome back to the Tallaball Show on the Civic Media Radio Network. It is Wednesday, hump day, December 13th, 2023. Now, 20 minutes past the hour of 1 o'clock. Glad to have you along with us. Trigvi Olson, Senior Advisor to the Lincoln Project. Boy, I got to get some more coffee. Even as we're pre-taping this show, by the way, folks. We pre-taped it yesterday on Tuesday, and we're doing a bunch of these as we get ready for the holidays and other stuff. And Mr. Zommers, I got to double up my caffeine or something.
I feel that, yeah.
I apologize. Talking to Trigvi Olson of the Lincoln Project. And Trigvi, thanks for making time with us on this Wednesday. Let's talk a little bit about Lincoln Day dinners. For those of you who don't know, is kind of the annual dinner for the Republican Party in counties and states across America. Last night in New Hampshire, Republican Governor Chris Sununu endorsing Nikki Haley. What do you make of that? Does the former governor and UN ambassador have any chance of knocking off Trump?
You know, I would never say never. I think it's a long shot. You know, Haley has got to finish second in to have a shot. Nikki's going to need to finish second in New Hampshire, in Iowa, where she's in a pretty competitive heat for second with DeSantis. Then she's going to need pretty much everybody to get out, but I don't think Ramaswamy will get out, but I don't know that really matters. Could she upend Trump in New Hampshire? Yeah, maybe. Trump's polling numbers, Trump campaign just put out recently a bunch of polling numbers that show Trump at, 67% in Alabama and like all these states. What they're not telling you is, they're at 50% in they've dropped to 50% in Iowa, so sort of right on the precipice. But they have a multi-candidate field, and then New Hampshire is a little bit of a New Hampshire is interesting because independents can vote. I mean, the way Nikki Haley would win is second in Iowa to have a shot. She'd take second in Iowa, she'd win New Hampshire, she'd have a bunch of momentum. And then probably have to get Trump on a debate stage, have him melt down a little bit, and then win South Carolina. And then I'll start. Then I think we can have a real conversation. Can she beat him? But she's kind of got to pull an inside straight.
Yeah. No, that's a good analogy. I want to talk about these poll numbers that came out. I know you've warned us before. Be very careful of any poll numbers this far out. But finally, we have some poll numbers from Reuters yesterday showing that Joe Biden was up by 4% in places like Wisconsin, kind of these swing key states, Wisconsin, Georgia, Pennsylvania, Michigan, Arizona. What do you make of that, if anything?
Well, I mean, there's been a bunch of polls. There were some polls that show Trump, ahead in Michigan. Wisconsin has consistently showed the race tied or a slight advantage towards Biden. And I've done some survey work in Wisconsin fairly recently that kind of shows the same thing. You know, I think, we're 47 weeks till the election, and what isn't going to change is Wisconsin, Pennsylvania, Michigan, and Arizona are going to be ground zero this thing, just like they were last time. You're going to hear a lot of talk about Georgia, but the reality is if Biden's winning Georgia, Biden's probably winning Wisconsin, Pennsylvania, Michigan. If Trump's winning Georgia, that doesn't mean he's going to win Pennsylvania, Michigan, and Wisconsin. I think all three of them present some really unique challenges for the Biden campaign and for the Trump campaign, quite frankly.
Jack Smith, special counsel prosecutor this week, has asked the U.S. Supreme Court to decide the question kind of in advance on whether Donald Trump can be prosecuted and held accountable in a court of law for alleged crimes that he committed while president of the United States. I think it's kind of forward thinking. It kind of speeds things up because Trump could use that to delay or to appeal. Jack Smith wants an answer now. How do you think this play is moving forward?
Well, I'm not a lawyer. I know it's about something because I've been reading Liz Cheney's book. It's about something called the immunity clause that has been claimed by administrations and presidents. And, you know, Mark Meadows tried to claim it. So, chiefs of staff, that they're immune from prosecution for any crimes they may commit as president. Honestly, I mean, I just think you don't need to be a Supreme Court justice to get that. That's just ridiculous. Right. Yeah. Like, president can't commit crimes he can shoot someone on Fifth Avenue, to use Donald Trump's analogy, and like, well, as president, that doesn't count. I don't think that really works that way. That said, I think it's a smart move based on what I've read, because Jack Smith is basically saying, I'm not going to let Trump string it out through appeals. Mm-hmm. I'm going to go and get this done ahead of time. And I know somebody, Jack Smith, as I understand it, was over in, he prosecuted war criminals at one point for a Justice Department, or helped at that. Mm. Like, I was talking to somebody that sort of knows that piece of his career. And I mean, he's a serious dude.
Very interesting. So. I did not know that. That's interesting stuff. About 2.5 minutes left here, and appreciate the time with us today, Trigvi, from the Lincoln Project. Talk to us a little bit about Liz Cheney. You brought her up. She was on Colbert this week on The Late Show. Mm-hmm. And, she's doing this tour. We talked a little bit about this on the show yesterday. And remind us of your theory again of the enemy of the enemy is my friend, because there's a lot of folks that are trying to say, well, you know, your dad did this and you're the third person in line in the House of Republicans, and you're not all, you know, somebody we want to cozy up to. But she maintains, Liz Cheney does, that, look, this is an existential threat, unprecedented, and regardless of things that have been happening in the past, there's been nothing like Trump that we have to deal with now, and we have to come together to defeat him moving forward.
Yeah, I mean, it's one of the challenges I've seen around the world when autocratic forces and autocratic actors emerge, right? Like, and that's what Donald Trump is. He tried to overthrow the government on January 6th. People want to, you know, I have 7 rules for dealing with autocrats. If you go on my Twitter feed, you can read them. Every time I put them out, they get thousands of likes. And I have all kinds of famous people who like them, actors, and gladiators. No, I don't know. But
gladiators? Any Packers fans
Luke Skywalker liked my 7 rules.
Wow.
That was a rush. But anyway, 7 rules. One of the rules, first rule, rule number 1, I wrote them for when I was working with people around the world fighting guys like Lukashenko, Putin, Chavez. Rule number 1 is play the game you're in. You have to understand this isn't politics as usual. And if you do not do all you can to keep Donald Trump out of the White House, then you are partially responsible for the consequences of him being there. What I mean by that is, a vote for Robert Kennedy Jr. is ultimately a vote for Donald Trump. A vote for Larry Hogan or No Labels, Trump. Rule number 6 is a Stalin rule. I call it that. Churchill and Roosevelt understood that Joseph Stalin was the second worst human being to ever walk the planet. But they were fighting and confronting the worst human being, Adolf Hitler, to ever cross the planet. You know what? To live to fight another day with Stalin, they worked with him. We kept the Russians afloat. And it was a good move. So you have to practice the Stalin rule. You can think that Liz Cheney is Darth Vader's spawn. I've mentioned to Liz, I was on a call where somebody did that, and it got a laugh. But
she's fighting for freedom and fighting for democracy.
She's fighting for freedom and democracy. And you read her book. There's no way you can't read her book and not respect her.
Trigvi Olson, senior advisor to the Lincoln Project. Thank you so much, my friend. See you next Wednesday. Thanks for making time for us today.
Yeah, thank you.
My pleasure. Stay tuned next. More pre-recorded show for you on this special edition of the Todd Allball Show. Thanks for joining us on Wednesday, December 13th.
You're listening to The Buzz of the North, 910 AM WBZH. ABC News. I'm Richard Cantu. Accused insurrectionists are appealing to the Supreme Court, trying to stop the felony obstruction statute from being used in their prosecutions. It could impact around 300 of those charged.
Hundreds of January 6th defendants and Donald Trump himself have been charged under a federal law that makes it a crime to obstruct an official proceeding. But the Supreme Court agreed to hear an appeal from one January 6th defendant who argues that that law, which was passed by Congress to deal with witness tampering in corporate criminal cases, cannot be applied to the attack on the Capitol.
ABC's Terry Moran. The House Republican majority was unanimous in voting to formalize the ongoing impeachment inquiry against President Biden. For a third meeting in a row, the Federal Reserve, nation's central bank, held its benchmark interest rate in place. Governors also signaled that 2024 could see three interest rate cuts. This is ABC News.
For Civic Media News, I'm Nate Wegeho. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. The Wisconsin Supreme Court has rejected a petition to directly take up a case looking to end the state's school voucher program. In a decision Wednesday, the court ruled that the case needs to start in the circuit courts before going all the way up to them. Minocqua Brewing Company owner Kirk Bangstedt, who helped bring the lawsuit, says they will continue to move forward in the lower courts. Democrats are looking to enshrine marriage equality in the state constitution. The amendments would remove language in the state constitution that defines marriage as between one man and one woman. It would also make sure that everyone has equal parental rights regardless of their sexual identity. While the legislation would not change anything at the moment, it would kick in if the U.S. Supreme Court overturned their 2015 ruling allowing same-sex marriage nationwide. I'm Nate Wegehout, Civic Media News.
Weather brought to you by Bug Tussle. Bug Tussle, we're out there because you're out there.
Bug Tussle, we're out there.
As goes Wisconsin with Kristen Bry.
Anybody who's ever breastfed a child knows that breast milk is liquid gold. Preserve it at all costs.
Oh, that's what Kristen was talking about. Yeah, freezing it, like pumping, freezing. She's like, I have bricks of it. I'm like, this sounds like a reboot of Breaking Bad. Like, this is...
In the breast
breaking
milk.
Breaking breasts.
Well done.
As goes Wisconsin with host Kristen Brock. Weekdays 10 till noon on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app.
Lows level off around 18 overnight under mainly clear skies. Winds out of the southwest, 8 to 15 miles per hour. Mainly sunny skies again tomorrow. High temperatures reach up to 44. A dusting of snow Saturday. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Paul Trombley. Right now, it's 25 degrees.
As goes Wisconsin with Kristen Bry.
Earl Ingram was giving Thanksgiving turkey cooking tips. Apparently, if you use your thumb and put an imprint on the turkey breast, if it bounces back, it's fresh. If it doesn't, it's frozen.
If you see a guy wandering around a grocery store in Madison doing things to turkeys, you'll know who it is.
I just gotta find myself a freshie.
As goes Wisconsin with host Kristen Bry. Weekdays 10 till noon on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. The Buzz of the North, 910 AM WBZH. Her name is Pam Yonke, but you can just call the host of the Midwest Farm Report, the Fabulous Farm Babe.
That's right, and the Fabulous Farm Babe is now part of the Civic Media team on your local station, Buzz of the North, WBZH 910 AM in Hayward. Here's show host Todd Alba with the announcement.
She is a broadcast legend. Doesn't matter whether you're a farm person, ag person, a producer, or just a good old Wisconsinite or a Packer fan. Pam Yonke, welcome to Civic Media.
My pleasure, my pleasure. Yeah, lifelong Wisconsinite. I grew up on a small dairy farm in northeast Wisconsin, O'Connell County. Stop and think about the work being done 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, to make sure that you and I are the best fed in the world.
Join the Fabulous Farm Babe, Pam Yonke, on The Buzz of the North, WBZH, 910 AM in Hayward.
Your Midwest Farm Report, weekdays from 5 until 6 AM. From Birchwood to Poplar, this is The Buzz of the North, 910 AM WBZH, your home for news, talk, and sports.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
Welcome back to the Todd Allbaugh Show on December 13th, 2023. You're listening to some pre-recorded content. Enjoy.
Pursuing truth wherever it may lead and having fun doing it. Welcome back on location here in Richland Center, Wisconsin, home of WRCE News from the Center. Heard locally on AM 1450 and FM 107.7. Also our sister station, Country and Community, WRCO on FM 100.9. Great stations. This is where I learned the craft of radio, right here in this very station. Well, the building's actually changed, but at this company and station, and great people like Phil Nee here. We appreciate him and all the fine staff at WRCE, WRCO, 35 minutes now past the hour. And once again, we have our ongoing contributor and friend from EPOMS World. You can find all of the work at EPOMSWorld.com. That's E as in Edward, and then B as in boy, A-U-M. World, actually it's plural, EPOMS plural, world.com. Peter Rapine joins us once again on a Friday as he does every other week for a little week in review. Mr. Rapine, how the hell are you?
Doing great today, Todd. Doing great. Thanks for having me back.
It's great. Now, I understand that you look fantastic, by the way, on the stream, but you were you were out maybe a little late last night.
Yeah. So EPOMS World, we had our holiday party last night, and so I'm maybe not as sharp as I would be today. I think I took too many candy cane shots last night, but I think it was worth it. I was telling you,
this I want you to tell us on the air, because you started telling us off the air. I'm like, this is fantastic. So you went there, you scheduled this holiday party for your company, just thinking it was a cool little bar, and you get there, and what do you find out?
Yeah, so we find that we're in the middle of a singles mixer. There was maybe 20 or 30 singles all there for speed dating. And our table, you know, we were there hanging, drinking, and we kind of got roped in, which was quite the event for us. Yeah, people kept coming up to us with playing cards saying, I've got a 2, I've got a 5. Like, what do you guys have? And we just had to shake our heads saying, no, we're taken, sorry.
So you're in the middle of a singles mixer. People don't know that you're not playing the game. And this is quite a compliment to you guys that people are coming up, you know, wanting to put you in the mixer.
Exactly. Yeah. And, the night kind of played its course. And I had, like I said, way too many candy cane shots. And I was making my way out. I had exited the bar. I was about to leave, go home. Mm-hmm. Some guy stops me, hands me a card with someone's name on it and a phone number, which was flattering. And then he also handed me a joint. And I accepted both. And then found myself back in the bar for another extended period of time when I should have been on the train.
So this is, sometimes life just takes you, it's the unexpected. That's the beautiful part of life. And you went there for a holiday party and you ended up getting a number and hanging out with people that you didn't expect to hang out with.
Exactly. Yeah. And I got to brag to all my coworkers who no one else got a number. So I walk back in. I'm like, hey, guys, check this out. And I throw the card on the table. Yeah. It was fun.
Well, that's fantastic. You know, you live life, you know.
I know. And the bar was great. It was like fully decked out in Christmas mm-hmm. decorations. It kind of felt like we were in a rom-com of sorts.
Oh,
yeah. Yeah, it was an eventful night.
Well, good.
Also, an eventful week in content. I know.
Right.
People will, if they've been following the George Santos story, it has sadly come to an end today. our headline that we're running right now is Diva Down, Memes and Reactions to the Ousting of George Santos, which, you know, he's got a long rap sheet of making incredible stories up, lying about being on varsity, you know, volleyball teams, his mom dying in 9/11, all this crazy stuff. But mm-hmm. through all that, he's kind of become a gay icon on the internet. And so Twitter is actually kind of sad because they were really starting to love the guy.
Right. Yeah. Well, we covered it. We covered kind of the serious part of it earlier in the show. That, you know, he was voted out only the 6th person in the history of the U.S. House of Representatives ever to be expelled from the House. But yeah, the guy is just, I mean, he's over the top. I'm not sure if he's told the truth about anything in his life, from his name to, you know, his sexuality, to his religious preferences, to his family tree. I mean, it's just one lie after another.
And, you know, you kind of have to respect a guy who's going to use campaign funds to fund his OnlyFans. Like he's spending, his representative's money on OnlyFans.
Did he really? Yeah. Oh my God.
I think four different OnlyFans accounts he was subscribed to or somewhere in that vicinity.
Great. I mean, he's a man of the people. Come on. Who among us can judge that? I can't judge that.
Look, anybody wants to go on, have an OnlyFans account or what? God love them, but to use the money from your contributors to your political campaign, I have a feeling that's not the intent when they gave a donation. I'm just surmising.
No. Yeah, I think George Washington would probably turn his nose up at that one.
Even George Washington wasn't buying hookers back then.
Who knows?
That's one of the things that I get a kick out of is that people who try to make the founding fathers and the founders they usually say, but back in the day most of them were men, but they try to put them up on this pedestal as these examples of morality and Christianity, and there were a handful of them were, but also I mean it's well known if you look at history. Benjamin Franklin, there wasn't a woman he didn't like, and he wasn't an alcoholic beverage he didn't like. The guy was a partier. And he still was a great writer.
Yeah, no, hey, you can be both sometimes, right? You can party and get the job done.
Witness the holiday party last night.
Yeah, exactly. Sometimes bonds are really forged in fire, and sometimes that fire is, straddling the toilet late at night.
It happens. So to your point, though, George Santos, it's unfortunate for people in your world, the EPOM's world and other places, where comedy and satire is your business. Yeah. This guy is just one great headline after another for you guys, right?
Exactly. No, it is. And he's not going away. He's going to be on Dancing with the Stars probably in a couple months, and then he'll be on
the RuPaul's Masked Singer. Race.
Yeah, Masked Singer, any of those ones. And George, if you're listening to this, our door is always open. Come on down, man.
All right. Well, we're the last week of November here. Any other headlines that are really catching your eye on epomsworld.com for this past week?
Yeah. So there was this story coming out of Canada. This guy, and I forget his name, but he was arrested for starting forest fires. But the irony of it was he was posting about these fires on the internet, creating all these conspiracies about who's starting these fires. And it turned out, he was the one who was starting fires.
What a nut job.
Yeah.
What I love about EPOM's world is this isn't stuff. This isn't fiction you guys just make up. These are all real things that actually have happened in our world that you guys have parsed out and found.
Yeah, there's no way we can make this up. The headline that we ran was "Man who says government was starting forest fires arrested for starting forest fires." So it's kind of, hey, man, sometimes you do have to look in the mirror and go, oh, I am the bad guy.
Right? But who would... There's a special type of person that thinks, that you can be starting, doing a crime and then running around going like, who's doing this? This is outrageous.
I mean, you'd be surprised. A lot of people can have pretty successful political careers doing just that, though.
Right? And that's always, as someone who spent a lot of my life in politics, that's what I've said. It's like, look, if people want to have different views from me, that's fine. It's a free world. But it's the hypocrisy, Peter, that always gets me. It's the people that hold themselves up as holier than thou. I didn't even get to it today, but there's a story breaking out of Florida right now that this Moms for Liberty person and a couple other schmucks down there are having a menage a trois. And there's this big sex scandal right now involving Moms of Liberty and Ron DeSantis. And these people are going around judging others and acting all holier than thou. And behind closed doors, they're having sexual menage. God bless anybody, who gets invited. God love them. But don't point the finger at others and say it's wrong. You know what I'm saying?
Exactly. Yeah. Hypocrisy is probably one of the worst crimes I think a politician could commit.
But one of the best things for people who do satire and who do what you do.
Yeah, it keeps the lights on, so to say.
We're talking to Peter Rapine from EPOM's World, a great website, one of the oldest sites around, and I don't ever think gets enough credit. And this is one of the great things I love having you on the show every other week, Peter, is A, we get to promo you, but B, we get to parse out some of these things that actually happened over the last week or so that we might not have heard about. Any other headlines this week you'd like to talk about here?
Yeah, so this story, I think, happened last weekend. It might have actually happened. No, it happened in Michigan, in Ann Arbor. Mm-hmm. There's a 12-year-old stole a forklift and then went on an hour-long chase. He led police on an hour-long chase in this forklift. He ran into a bunch of cars. But the footage is just, like, absolutely hilarious. And it's not really – I think a forklift only goes 10 miles an hour. So right. It wasn't quite a high-speed chase. But our kicker was, you know, I don't know, you know, if you guys are big gamers or if your audience is, but GTA 6 is coming out soon, and clearly the kids are hungry. Really excited for GTA 6. Probably a little too excited.
Mr. Zomers is our resident gamer here. Mr. Zomers, are you into this now, this gaming?
GTA 6, I feel like, well, it's irrefutable that GTA 5 is one of, if not the number one highest grossing video games of all time, just because of their continued support of it. So GTA 6 is going to be played by a lot of people and make a lot of money. That is for sure.
There you go.
I think GTA 5 might even be the most, I don't think a piece of media has ever made more money than that game has.
I think,
like,
you're right.
Movies, books. Like, wow. It probably rivals, like, the Bible as far as, like, total sales goes. It's insane. Yeah.
See, this makes me feel very old and very out of touch because I have no idea what this even means. But I'm not, I mean, the last really big gaming I got involved in with Peter was my Atari back in the 80s. Right? You know, I just never got into the whole gaming scene. I don't know. Not one of my friends. But I know it's a huge deal for a lot of people.
Oh my gosh, yeah. For kids, it's, I mean, most kids these days, that's how they interact with their friends. You know, we used to, back in my day, you go to the skate park, and sure, you know, kids are still doing those things, but Roblox and Minecraft and Fortnite, that's how kids hang out.
Isn't that crazy? And they hang out and they go online and they play. I have two godsons, and one in particular, he'll play these games with people all around the country
or around the world.
Around the world. Yeah. It's a whole new way of socializing.
Another story we had this week that was kind of fun and keeping in line with, you know, the holiday theme.
Yes.
A video of a woman who isn't aware that she's being filmed, and she's in what looks like her company's break room. And our headline is, coworker who thinks she's alone ravages office chocolate cake. And she has a spoon in her hand, and she is, I don't know if you call it double dipping when you're doing it with a spoon, but she is doing that. And she's just eating it, which, hey, I would love to eat a chocolate cake. Right now, if there's a chocolate cake in front of me, I'd be doing the same.
Yeah.
But when your coworkers are filming you going to town on a cake, right, that's, we are going to be there. And we're going to, you know, make the world know that you did that.
But, I mean, do you think that she, apparently you said she didn't know, but I mean, to have a camera in the office break room, I mean, there's a little bit of a, you know, should the employees know that?
Oh, well, no, she's being filmed by her coworkers.
Oh, she's intentionally being filmed.
She's intentionally being filmed. Yeah, someone is being like, oh, Cheryl is eating the whole cake.
Oh, that's fantastic. There's one I'd like to explain because I just like it here. There is a woman, looks like she's tonguing a wolf. And the headline is, white women are never beating the allegations. Why is this woman's tongue kissing a wild wolf?
Yeah, so that one's pretty self-explanatory. It's a short video and there's not a lot of context. And this woman is out in the, you know, wilderness somewhere, surrounded by snow, and this wild wolf walks up to her. And the two must have been lovers in the past life because they just start going at it. She opens her mouth fully, and this wolf has like half of its snout. Just, it's a disturbing video to say the least.
So far, my favorite story of the week. Back with more Peter Rapine on the other side from EPOM's World. This is the Todd Allball Show, and this is the Civic Media Radio Network.
This is the Buzz of the North, 910 AM WBZA.
When I first had my baby, I'd get comments all the time about how happy I must be. I remember thinking, I want to be happy. Why don't I feel that way? It was hard to admit that, even to my doctor. But I'm glad I did. She told me it was postpartum depression, and that is very treatable. These days, things are feeling good, and we're both happier about that. Right, little man? I'll take that as a yes.
Mental health care is working for Simone. See what it can do for you at mentalhealthcareworks.org. A message from the American Psychiatric Association Foundation.
Lexi spent more than 6 years in foster care.
Before I was adopted, I felt alone.
With help from the Dave Thomas Foundation for Adoption, Lexi now has a forever family and the foundation for a bright future.
Adoption changed me for the better. I feel like I can be whoever I want to be.
You can help find permanent homes for children still lingering in foster care. Learn more at DaveThomasFoundation.org.
You're listening to the Buzz of the North, 910 AM WBZH.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
Welcome back to the Todd Allball Show on the Civic Media Radio Network. It is now 10 before...
Good afternoon, everyone. Welcome back to the Todd Allball Show. This is Aaron, the producer, letting you know that you're listening to some pre-recorded content. We have here an interview with Peter Rapine from eBombs World, where he's going to share with you some of the greatest stories from the last couple weeks. You won't want to miss this one. You may have heard it before, but it's some pretty funny stuff, so I'm sure you'll enjoy.
Direct, you're not going to want to miss it. Taking us to the front lines of history being made every minute of every day. It is Matt Flynn Direct coming up after the news at the top of the hour. Right now, we are honored to have our guest with us each and every other Friday. He is Peter Rapine of EBombsWorld.com, taking a look at the week or so in review. And again, the great thing about EBombs World is that this is not fiction. It's not something that people just sit down and completely make up. These are actual things that actually happened that Peter and their staff have gone through and worked up and presenting the weird and wacky human nature that is Americans. That's one of those things, Peter.
Myself.
Yeah. going through some of these headlines here, here's one that I like. 31 secrets the food industry doesn't want you to know. Do you really know what's going into your mouth? And it's a National Pie. By the way, National Pie Day today, Peter. Right. And do you have a favorite pie?
Ooh, that's a good question. I would probably just say pumpkin. I think I'm really kind of basic. Yeah. I'm, to be honest, I'm not a huge sweets person. I like pie, but it needs ice cream on the side. But I'd probably go pumpkin.
All right. Tis the season.
Food facts go, or the secrets that, you know, the food industry doesn't want you to know. And I think maybe this one a lot of people do know is natural flavors. When you know, brands or products say that, there is absolutely no truth to that. And one of the funnier bits of that is there are some flavorings that are more flammable than others. And banana flavoring supposedly is highly, highly flammable.
Really?
Yeah. I don't think that means you could light a banana crisp or banana Laffy Taffy on fire, so to say, but the more you know, right?
Put some banana flavor in your mouth, you got to light a match, you got a flamethrower going on.
Possibly, right. Yeah. And also, one that I think most people really do know is the reason, you know, when you go out and dine in a restaurant, the reason that the food is typically so much better than what you use at home really just comes down to the copious amounts of butter restaurants use. Whenever you think, oh, is this enough butter, restaurants using 4, 5, 6 times as much butter. So
100%. We had a caller earlier talking about, well, one of their favorite pies, he said it was like a stick of butter in it. Well, any pie with a stick of butter, right? I mean, it's
gonna be great.
I mean, you know, you could clean out the litter box and put a stick of butter in it.
That's what I was gonna say. That litter pie with enough butter? Hey, I'll try one.
Are those raisins? No, I'm not sure what. Don't try that at home, ladies and gentlemen. Don't try that at home. We're not giving out cooking tips here, mind you. Peter Rapine from EBombs World. Give us a couple others. Headlines, a week in review from EBombs World.
Yeah, so one thing that I've been kind of keeping my eye on and really hoping that we would have, we finally got this week, video footage of delivery robots being robbed I don't know if you're aware of this, but a lot of, you know, a lot of startups that have started these, you know, new Uber Eats style delivery services. And in LA specifically, in Southern California, there's a lot of them. Well, our headline is R2D2 has fallen. Delivery robots are being attacked and robbed. And it's a video of a guy just walking up to one, opening the top and taking out the food, which chef's kiss.
Right?
Perfect, right? Like new problems and, you know, new, you got to work harder, not smarter, basically.
And we have these in Madison, Wisconsin, on the University of Wisconsin Madison campus. There's a company, and they're little robots that have big wheels on them and an antenna, and they're lit so you can see them at night. And they deliver food, particularly to the lakeshore dorms, where, you know, in the winter, this time of year, getting colder, kids don't want to go out. And so these robots go a mile and a half to deliver food in the snow and the cold and everything.
And it's great. I mean, right? Who doesn't want, you know, a hot burrito late at night? It's cold, you don't want to leave.
Right.
But if you're, you know, down and out, you've only got a couple bucks in your bank account, you might want to follow one. You never know. You might get a salad, you might get a burger. I'm not, you know,
it's like
encouraging
these people
rob robots.
No.
But
no, it's like these people that, you know, they sell off, people who abandoned their U-Haul storage things, and they just cut the lock off, they open it up, but you might pay $10 or $200, and then who knows what's inside.
Yeah, you never know. You never know what you're going to get. That was a fun one.
And now, of course, now we're going to have to arm our robots to make sure that they get there safely.
Yeah. Oh, totally. another really kind of short, fun, pranky video we had this week. And we do a lot of, like, car content, you know, a lot of, whether it's, I don't want to say crashes, but, you know, silly stuff happening on the roadways or weird things that mechanics kind of deal with. This mechanic shared a video where someone brought in a truck, and I kid you not, every single button control in the truck activated the horn. The volume, the air, the door keypad, the emergency light, every button in the car played the horn, which,
good Lord,
how does that even happen?
Right?
It's probably one of the best watches for me of the week. Just hilarious, yeah.
But about a minute left here. Tis the season. This headline on epomsworld.com: beware of real trees. Woman's Christmas tree hatches hundreds of praying mantises. Say what, Peter Rapine?
Yeah, imagine that. You go chop down a real tree, bring it into your house, and then you have a plague, a swarm of praying mantises. Just like perfect. Yeah.
That's crazy. I've heard it. I think there was a person one time that cut down a tree and an owl, like, clung to it. They had an owl in the house. But having an outbreak of praying manatees in the house?
I know. So silly. I mean, what do you do at that juncture? I guess next year these people are going to just get a fake tree, right?
It'd be better for the environment. They'll be traumatized by real trees.
Yeah.
The scent of pine in the shopping mall will set them off. Oh, Peter Rapine, you're fantastic. We appreciate you making the time for us each and every other Friday. People can find the work at EPOMS, plural, EPOMSworld.
Well, it is a B, B as in boy.
Yes.
It just sounded kind of like a P as in Peter when you were saying
that. Well, I'm still suffering the sinuses. I'm sorry. But yes, Mr. Zomers is right. EBOMSworld, B as in boy, .com. Peter Rapine, you're fantastic, my friend. You know, and congratulations on getting the number at the speed round dating.
Hey, thanks, Todd.
Always a pleasure. Have a great weekend, my friend.
Hey, you too.
Thank you so much. We appreciate Peter being here. Appreciate Phil Nee from WRCO, WRCE. Mr. Zomers, happy birthday, my friend. Have a great birthday. Thank you all for listening. Mr. Matt Flynn is next. Matt Flynn Direct. Do not miss that. We'll see you next week. Make it a great week in Wisconsin. Until then, this is Todd Allball saying keep banging your drum on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Your hometown station for news, talk, and sports. This is the Buzz of the North, 910 AM WBZH. You can always continue the conversation on social media. Share your thoughts when you find and follow Civic Media on Facebook, X, and Instagram.
The fastest hour in radio, serving truth, justice, and equality with every slice. Outside the Pizza Box with Pizza Box Mike. Friday nights at 7 on the Buzz of the North, 910 AM WBZH.
We've all felt left out. And for people who move to this country, that feeling lasts more than a moment. We can change that. Learn how at belongingbeginswithus.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council.
This is the Buzz of the North. WBZH 910 AM, W245 CT Hayward, and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
ABC News,